I really do apologize for not having a slideshow tonight, but I had a little bit of a rough week, and this was the last of five preparations that I had to do, so I didn't get to the PowerPoint. Please forgive me, but hopefully the Lord will bless you even still tonight without the PowerPoint. Have you heard of something? Have you heard of something called a midlife crisis? Yeah, you want to share with us? Great. Right. So most of you have heard about something called a midlife crisis. Okay, now a question. Why? Why do people go through midlife crises? Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. My sermon is finished. Let us go home then. No, I'm joking. But yes, definitely. You know, there's something like a midlife crisis because people feel somewhere in the middle of their life, they get to a place where they look back and they see, sure, you know, I didn't accomplish as much as I would have liked, or what I have accomplished does not amount to much, even though I have a lot of stuff. So, anyway, now let me ask you this question. Can a Christian go through a midlife crisis? Faseker. Even Christians can go through midlife crises. Now, when you look at people in general and Christians in general, then you see that most of them look at life. And they say, you know, it seems unfair to me, hello Lucy, that God blesses Shal so much, and I've been serving him for 50 years now, and he has not come through for me in the way that he has come through for Shal. So many people think, many Christians think, you know, God is, he's got favorites, definitely. Do you know or do you think that God has got favorites? I do not know, but my heart says yes, but my mind says no, because you cannot say that of God. But it seems unfair to us, and you know, we read that story in the Bible about the talents and the talents that are given to people. Some have got five and others have got two and others have got one. So you sometimes feel, yeah, but I've only got the one. And God is unfair and he's given other people more than me. And you look at people's lives and you get this funny feeling, you know, that God somewhere deep inside in your heart, you feel that God is unfair. God is unfair to you because of what you see goes around or goes on around you in other people's lives. Yes, and I know you're very spiritual tonight and you don't think like that, but many times we do. We look and we see, listen, I've really done so much for God. I've really given up so much for God. You know, is it too much to ask God to just help me in this aspect of my life? And then God seems unfair to us, and we are always thinking. But anyway, God says his ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. So, yes, you were right. God does not have favorites. And I've only got one child and one on the way. But there are some other people here who's got more children than I have. But I can imagine that it will be like this. Is that all your kids are different, but you do not love any of them less than the other one. Okay, so you have got that unconditional love for all of them, but you respect the uniqueness of all your children, and you're not going to be unfair to the one because you love him more or less. You love everyone the same. So God's like that too. So when he looks at us, he looks at us like a father loving his children, even though we are different. But then there is something that is unfair about this whole thing. And then you must say, Deval, but now you're confused because you just said God isn't unfair. But yes, sometimes when we look at other people's lives, things happen for them. You look at their lives, and yes, it is true. Things are going really smoothly for them. But for you, not so smoothly. Is there maybe something that we can look at tonight that gives us a little bit of answers into that thing that other people's lives, you know, their lives are happening, man. But mine not. Why? Matthew 22 verse 14. You can turn there if you've got your Bible here. But I will read it anyway because I don't have it on the board there. Sorry, Heinrich, for you having to come all the way tonight to sit here and listen to my preaching. Thank you. Matthew 22 verse 14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." All right. What does this mean? That's one of those heavy scriptures in the Bible that you can argue around a lot. And it has been argued around a lot, but you can go and look for it. I'm not going to argue tonight. I just want to bring out the principle here. It says there, many are called, but few are chosen. Okay? Now you say, okay, I see the ball there. God is unfair. Because many are called, and only few are chosen. So how does that work? Now let's look at another scripture just to see and to get a little bit of understanding into that scripture that I just read. It says there in Matthew 16 verse 19, "I will give you," God speaking here, Jesus speaking now to Peter. He says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." When you look at that scripture that I've just read, it says there that there's not, okay, let me backtrack a little. There's not this huge one, because I know you're sitting here, especially if you're feeling like, yes, my life's not happening at the moment. I want my life to happen. So I'm going to wait because Deval's going to give me the big revelation tonight on how I must get my act together and make my life happen. I'm not. So if you're waiting for that, and many people do that. They wait for this big revelation that must be written on the wall for their life to start happening because they're missing something. Okay, but back to that scripture. It says there, "I will give you the what of heaven, the keys of heaven." So when you read that scripture, you see that heaven is a big place. You're going to need more than one key to open what needs to be open to you. So back to that scripture that we read in the beginning. "For many are called and few are chosen." Maybe there are other things surrounding this thing that is maybe part of the keys that we need to unlock our destiny and our things. Now, some of the keys that we know about, and there might be many more. I'll just have a couple here. One of the keys that you need for a successful life is the grace of God. You can do nothing without the grace of God, okay? So that's one. The grace of God is one of those things. Then your righteousness before God is another key. If you cannot come into the Father's presence knowing that you have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, then you're going to miss something. Another key is your authority as a believer. Yes, you have got that also. But I want you to realize tonight that those are keys to unlocking things, but not one of those keys are more important than the other ones. Okay? So you need all of them to unlock what God has got for you. And then the last one is, and that's what I'm speaking about tonight. One of the other keys is calling and separation. Now, we're getting a bit deeper here. Who of you have heard of the thing called calling and separation? First one. Oh, the calling one, not the separation one. We're going to speak about it a bit more now. Paul defines this for us in Romans 1 verse 1. He says there, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle," see, there's the word, called to be an apostle, And then set apart for the gospel of God. Right? Calling and separation. So Paul understood this thing from the beginning. Now, just one comment I would like to make here. If it is true for the disciples, it are true for us too. So, because we are later than, doesn't make us exempt from the things that counted for the disciples. So if Paul were, if he was called and separated, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's how things work with God. So, some further verses there that gives us insight into this thing. Again, in Galatians 1 verse 15, it says, "But when he who has set me apart before I was born," that is God, "and who called me by his grace." Again, there was a setting apart and there was a calling. Okay, just vice versa this time. So, many of us read this and then we say, and this is where you can go into the arguments if you want to. This calling and separation thing, predestined and God knew and I have no choice in this and what. Okay, I'm not going to go there tonight. But you can go there if you want to. It's by the grace of God that we are called and we are separated. So that I want you to understand. God has a plan for every one of our lives. He has predestined it, yes. But do you have a choice in it? For sure. You have got a choice. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says the following. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." So for each and every one of us, there's a set of good works laid out for us to accomplish in this life. God has already laid it out for us. We can walk in them if we choose to. Because if I decide today that I'm not going to listen to God anymore, I'm not going to do what God asked me to do, then I'm going to miss it. Okay? If I want to be blatantly rebellious, and then I'm not going to do what God has laid out for me to do. So I have a choice in it. But obviously, because I want to please my Father in heaven, I'm not going to be stupid like that. So, just to lay this confusing thing for many of us to bed. The sovereignty of God, the sovereignty of God, is something that puts him beyond everything, obviously. Okay? So God looks at the whole picture from beginning to end and he sees everything. He's not going to be caught off guard by anything. So the plans that he's laid out for you, it's been put there, but God can see it. It's not going to make a difference because God can see what you are going to choose. But that's the thing. He's not going to change your thoughts for you. You are the one that can choose it, even though God can see everything that happens at once. Okay? But he has laid out for you and for me a set of good works that he wants us to walk in. Now, Ephesians 4 verse 7 says there, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." God has given us a grace for every one of us to walk in that gift that he has given us. So if you want to walk in that gift, yes, you can. And obviously you want it tonight, so I hope so, at least. But let's define a couple of things tonight. The first thing, calling. What does it say? Like Paul said in Romans 1 verse 1, that calling. The Greek word for it is kaleo. Now that word means to call out loud. Okay, so to be a deval, calling out loud many times. To be summoned or to be called out. So in other words, when you go to the king, you do not go there to go and check out, "Hey, Buckingham Palace is lekker. I want to go and look and just meet the king quickly." No ways. Or the queen in this matter. You will be summoned. And then usually it's not a good thing when you go to the king's palace or to the queen's palace. But you are summoned. That's what that word means. So you are being called out from where you are, summoned by the king. Okay? So that's the first word, this word kaleo. Now, many of us have heard about the calling on my life. What is my calling? What is the thing that I've been summoned for in this life? Now, it might be your job that you are doing. Yes. Or it might be something more spiritual, like I'm doing, being a pastor. But it doesn't matter what you are called for. The thing that you are called for will always, all right, always involve other people's lives being changed because of you. You're not going to be called to be a, what do you call a chartered accountant. You're not going to be a chartered accountant to be a chartered accountant, to do good books great. And that's all that you do. If you are really called to be a chartered accountant, God has got plans for you as that chartered accountant to influence other people's lives by the job that you are doing. Okay, so when you are summoned for something, it will always have something to do with other people that will be influenced around you. When God summons us, when He calls us, we need to recognize the calling that God has placed on our lives. How do you do that? Let me just ask a question, because it looks like you're going to fall asleep tonight, thinking about the food at home or the people at home. So when God summons us, if you've got a calling on your life, God comes, He gives us, but we need to recognize that calling. You need to be able to say, okay, this is what I register in my heart. Okay, now before many of us go on this very spiritual tangent and not move anywhere, because I have not seen what God wanted to do with my life, so I'm not moving. The thing that God has called you to do on this earth will not be a totally foreign concept to your mind and your heart right now. The thing that you are called to do will be a passion in your heart in some form or another. You're not going to be called to do something by God and then you hate what you are doing. God does not work like that. He's not stupid. I love speaking before people because it's a gift that God has given me. He has called me to do something like this. I'm doing it. I like it. God will not give you something, call you for something, and then you will not like what you are doing. Okay? So if you are called to be a chartered accountant, then chartered accountancy will just float your boat, man. It will be so great for you. And I'm not saying that there is not a process to get to that place. Okay? So maybe if you're in a place where you're not feeling, I'm not doing what I want to do with God, just hold on. But anyway, just to share a little bit with you guys that took the trouble to come tonight, to share with you just how God called me. I've known for a while, I liked to testify before people and to speak to people and that. Because I've done it many times after I got saved or after my mother's passing away. So that was fine. So I always had this thing I wanted to do something for with God, you know, that thing in your heart. So what happened was in my second or third year, and check this out now, the sovereignty of God. Okay? Can I just rock your thinking a little bit? I was in a relationship that I was not supposed to be in. Okay? So now you're thinking, now all the religious demons are just jumping up. But then you were not in the will of God. You can make with that what you want. But anyway, when I was in it, you know, I was thinking, yeah, I want to do this anyway. Even though afterwards I could say I wasn't feeling too comfortable with it. Many stories like that. God's sovereignty is above everything, even your stupid choices. But I go and I visit this girlfriend of mine in the place where it was in Cirrus, where she stayed. Now, we go to the church there. It's a small church like this almost. Not many people. And we worship. And then the pastor said at the end of his sermon, yeah, but if you want to come forward for a prophetic word or something, just come to the front. Hey. By that time, you know, I was really seeking God. I was seeking His face just to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because it was before I went in search of a job, finishing the next year, my studies and stuff. So I was thinking through and out of what God wants to do with me. Anyways, even though I was in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in. And then what happened was I went to the front and then the pastor said, no, but I'm not going to pray for you. If you are in the congregation and you've got something on your heart for any of these people that stands here in the front, please come and share it with them. All right. And there comes this little auntie. And she's about this high. And she comes and stands in front of me and she says, she doesn't know what this means. But she just wants to tell me, Esther, Esther, Isaiah 45. Now, I just can't imagine. She was just obedient to what God was saying. If you had to go to someone and say to him, Esther, Esther, Isaiah 45. What does that mean? I knew exactly what that meant. I was in Dagbreek in that time, and my nickname in the hostel, in the res, was Esther. So God came and He called me by my nickname that I only knew, and the people that knew me, obviously, but that lady didn't know. And He said, Esther, Esther, Isaiah 45. Anyway, you can go and read Isaiah 45, but on the top of that thing, it says there, Cyrus, God's instrument in some translations, in others, Cyrus, God's shepherd. Okay? That's settled. So, I knew I was called to ministry. And that's fine. Then comes the kicker. Philippians 2 verse 13 in the Amplified Bible says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work His good pleasure to His satisfaction and delight. So God gives you the power and the desire, the will and the thing to do, or that desire to do it, when He calls you. That's what I'm saying. It will be inside of you. God has created you like that. You will want to do what He lays on your heart to do. But it's important that you accept the calling when God comes and He gives you that calling. So, natural or spiritual, it doesn't matter. But it will always influence other people. But then, when you are called, when you've accepted it, Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So it says there, you must walk, not sit and wait for God to come and do everything. It's a journey. It's something that you walk towards. Even though if you've been called, you know that sometime, somewhere ago you had this prophecy spoken over you or whatever, that this is what you're going to do. But when you're sitting, nothing is happening in that direction. It's a journey. You walk the journey. But walk in a manner worthy of what? Of the calling that was laid on your heart. On your heart by God. Okay? So what does that mean? That means to do everything in your power to walk worthy of the calling that God has given you. Okay? Now, many times people come to this place and then say, ah, but Deval, I've been doing this for 15 years and nothing has happened. Well, that's the difference between calling and separation, where we are getting to now. Now, the Greek word for separation is aporizo, and it means to set apart by boundaries or to sever. And it's got a dual meaning. It's got, you can say that word, I'm separating myself from something, or I'm separating myself to something. Okay, so that's the dual meaning that you've got in that place. Now, just to explain the difference between, or the time between calling and separation. The time between your calling and the time when you are set apart to do what God has really called you to do. It can be long or it can be short. Guess whose decision it is? Moi. You can decide how quick you want to get from the place of being called to the place of being separated to do what God has done, want to do in your life. Now, before I confuse a couple of people here, Jesus had to walk on earth 30 years before he was separated to do what God has called him to do. Okay, we can do it a little bit quicker because we don't live as long as those people lived back then. Okay, but not that much difference. They got 80. They eat 80 quite regularly. But Jesus had to do it for 30 years. So if you come to a place where you're feeling, yeah, but I'm not going to get there anyway, then just remember, God has got a plan for you, and the time between your calling and your separation can be long or short, depending on yourself. Now, let's look at the life of Paul quickly, and I'll be finishing soon. Acts 9 verse 6, and trembling and astonished, he said, that's now Paul after he's been hit off his horse. You know, the reason why for Paul, the time between his calling and his separation was quicker, was that man asked the right questions. Some of us ask stupid questions sometimes. The right questions, listen to what he asks. After the Lord knocks him off his horse, his first question is, Lord, what will you have me do? What do you want me to do, God? Okay, now, for all the spiritual people in the house. He is speaking directly to Jesus. He asks Jesus, what do you want me to do, Lord? What does Jesus do? Jesus says, go. Arise, go into the city, and what? And you shall be told what you must do. So Paul speaking directly to God. God knows what he wants him to do. But Jesus works differently. He says, go and what? And you will be told what you must do. By whom? An angel? No. Another obedient Christian that's listening to God tells Paul, this is what you must do. So the people that are around you, the people in your life, will know you. And they will say, Fiti, you are this and this and this and this. And if you get that from a couple of people, then maybe sit up and take notice. Maybe God is trying to speak to you. God is trying to tell you, listen, hey, come here. Lapa sidewena. No. God has got to give it to me personally. Many times, like with Paul, Jesus said, go, for you shall be told what you must do. And then in verse 15, God speaks to Ananias, the other one. That's this is Ananias, I think. But the Lord said to him, go, for this is my chosen vessel to me, to bear for my name before nations and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Saul asks the right questions, and he listens when God speaks, even through other people to him. Now, some of us are sometimes just asking the wrong questions. Who tells Saul his calling? God? No, somebody told him, one of his friends, or not friends, but another Christian told him what he must do. So after he's done that, and that's where I want to get to tonight. After he has spoken, God has spoken through somebody to Paul, he's calling. What do you must do? You must go to the Gentiles and to the Israelites. That's whom you're going to reach for me. Hallelujah! Let's go and do it, God. What happens? Paul goes to Arabia for 14 years. And in that time, God comes and he reveals to him what this thing actually is that he wants him to do. And in that time, he wasn't just sitting down and praying and fasting for 14 years. No, he was working. He was a tent maker. He was doing stuff. But God could speak to him and reveal to him this thing that was spoken long ago and show him how the Christ of the Old Testament fulfilled everything that needs to be done from now on in. So Paul spends a while being formed by God and then being separated after that time. Now, almost finished. Many times, people come and then they say, "Yeah, but I've been called by God to make money for the kingdom." And for many of them, that's true. God has called them to make lots of money for the kingdom. But then after 5 years, they are so frustrated because nothing's happening. They're not getting the big bucks in. But that was their calling. That's what they're supposed to do. If you are going to make money for the kingdom of God, and that money comes quickly and easily to you, without you having a character to support that, then all the reasons why you want to make money will fly out the door when that money comes. Because now it's a great thing. Yes, I want to make lots of money because I want to see the kingdom of God come. If you do not have the character to support that, when that money comes, then it's a little bit more difficult. When God says, "Okay, Fiti, I know you've made 1.4 million rands on this deal now, but I want you to give away 1.35 million rands to that ministry." "God, that's a lot of money. I've only got 50,000 rands left then." God wants your character to be one that he can trust when you get to that place where you are being separated to do what you have been called to do. So when you are in a place where you are very frustrated and stuff because you cannot see what you know you've been called for, just ask God the right questions. "God, what is there in my heart that you still want to change? God, what is there in my heart that does not conform to the way that you want me to think?" Those are good questions to ask. Stupid, silly questions is, "God, why? So long. So sorry for myself." Those are stupid questions to ask. Better questions are, "God, this is what I've learned. But is there something more that you want me to see? Please change my character. Change my character into one that you can trust to release me into my calling." And God will do that. Definitely. Okay. Let's just quickly look at some prerequisites for a godly character. And unfortunately, character is only built on the slow road. Character is never built on the fast track. Because if I'm here today and there tomorrow, time for character building is nothing. So, God will come and he will shape your character because he wants what? Your calling will do what? It will influence people. And that's the main thing. If your calling influences people, then what you do with that calling, if you stuff it up, will influence people. also. Okay? That's why God wants your character to be one that He can trust safely. Because He knows He's going to commit into your hands many people. And if you have got this flaw in your character that you didn't want to sort out, and you get to that place where you think that you are forcing yourself into the release of your whatever you wanted to do, then that thing will cause a lot of people a lot of hurt. Anyways, let's just look at some prerequisites for a godly character. Firstly, faithfulness. Matthew 25 verse 23. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." You know, in the beginning of this year, end of last year, beginning of this year, I read a great thing. I had to go and search for it. Just in one of my friends' Skype bubble was the words semper fi. Semper fi. Okay, semper fi. Greek words. It means always faithful. The U.S. Marines, that's their motto. Semper fi. Always faithful. Hoorah! But that's just one of those things that God has come and challenged me, you know, everywhere. In my life, with my wife, with my friends, with Him. Always faithful. Even though you're going through a bad patch, are you going to be faithful in doing what God has given you to do now? Because you cannot be faithful with something that is still coming. Your calling that is there. Okay, so where are you at now? I'm here as I was studying. So, now when you receive your calling, I have to go in the ministry. Do I leave my studies and go into the ministry because that's my calling? No, sir. You finish your studies. Because God is a finisher. Be faithful in your studies. Then, I tried to force myself in the ministry because that's what I had to do. No. God put some closed doors before me. So I had to go and work for 4 years. Because God had to form something in my character still. And after that 4 years, then God released me to do what I was called to do. But those things that were part of the journey was actually also part of my calling. Because without those things, I could not have done. And still God is building me. But God knew that I still had to have some things built into me. Then, second thing, fear of God. You need to have a healthy fear of God. When God says, do, and then says, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he departed. Numbers 12. And when the cloud removed from the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Okay, because they rebelled against Moses, God made them leprous because of that rebellion in their hearts. Something that needed to change in their hearts. Okay, so luckily God's not that severe with us anymore today. If you're rebellious in your heart, then you get some leprosy for you. Hallelujah. $1,000 in your maxi spar. Third thing, teachability. Are you teachable? How teachable are you? Can God come and speak to you through anybody? Big question. Because we always want, when we know that God's going to come and speak to us, we want it to be through this and this and this person. Can God come and speak to you through the berge on the street? Will you hear? Will you be teachable? Will you do away with all your mountains that you've built in your head of all your arguments that you think these are the ones? Then, do you have a love for people? Are you really in a place where you love people? Because if you do not love people, how will you be able to influence people positively? If you only love yourself. Numbers 12 verse 13, and Moses cried to the Lord, "O God, please heal her. Please." Moses comes when Miriam was leprous. Because he loved people, he interceded for her. Please, Lord, heal her. And God did it. And then, the last one. You need to be humble. And that is the thing that God has had to work hard on Duval with. To just be humble. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm humble. I'm saying that God had to work something in my heart from my mother's death already when I was 16 years old so that my heart can be in a place where I can receive just, you know, God and people. Because I knew that I was actually nothing. So, when you are in a place where God can come and test these things in your life, and He will, because He wants you to have a godly character. When you come to that place and God can give you ticks to most of them, because I'm not there, but I'm getting there. God will release you. So tonight, if you're here, and you're sitting in a place where you think, God, you know, what do I have to do with and for you? Don't be silly. Don't be over spiritual. God spoke through people to Paul. Be open for that. And don't be too hasty to get to that place. Respect the journey that God takes you through. Ask the right questions. Don't ask stupid questions. Because there's something in your heart that God needs to settle first. Who's more important? Me? Or this thing in your life, Duval? Decide. Let's stand tonight. Father, thank you, Lord God, that we can be here. And Father, I bless you, Lord God, that every person here, Lord, has been called, Lord, according to your purpose, Lord God, and destiny for them. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would just come to each and every one of them, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, and speak to them, Lord God, through people, Lord God. Speak to them through your word, Father. But Father, I ask, Lord God, for a boldness, Lord God, not to sit and to wait, Lord God, for signs and for things, Lord God, that you have already spoken, Lord, through people. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would just come to a place where that every person will, yeah, Lord God, will just know that as they follow hard after you, Lord God, doing what you have called them to do for now, they will come to the place where you separate them to do, Lord God, what you have called them to do that influences so many people's lives. Father, I also, God, for a perseverance, Lord God. For many people here, Lord God, I just sense, Lord God, that they're so frustrated, Lord God, and thinking that, Lord, this is what you said, Lord God, but this is where I am. Father, I also, God, for eyes to see, Lord God, that you are building, Lord God, and you are forming, Lord God, a character that can be trusted in each and every one of them. And Father, I also, God, that as we go, Lord God, with you, that you would just reveal more and more to us, Lord God, like you did with Paul, Lord, what you want us to do to influence the people that you want us to influence. And I ask, oh God, for a faithfulness, oh God, for a humility, Lord God, for a teachability, Lord, in every one of our souls, any one of our hearts, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord God, for every person, Lord God, here that wants to follow hard after you, Lord. That's why they are here, Father. And I just bless you for that, Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that you are the one, Lord God, that you say, Lord God, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's where your heart's at, Lord God. You want to give us that, Father. Ask, Lord God, for a boldness, Lord God, to walk in that and to trust you to show us as we go along, Lord God, on this journey, not as we sit, Lord. So I'm just blessing you, Lord God, tonight for each and every person here, Father. And I ask, Lord God, that every one of them, Lord God, will just receive, Lord God, and accept the calling and the journey, Lord God, that comes after the calling, Lord, to get to the place of separation, Father. Build our characters, Lord, and make us people, oh God, that you can trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. If you have any prayer needs, please come to the front. And thank you for coming again.